43 in your handbook. Stand this evening. This is 320 in your hymn book. I had no idea what Brother Joshua was going to be playing, but this next song is "Oh Yes, I'll Live in Glory." Seems to be a theme. You looking forward to heaven? Amen. I'd like to stay here longer than men's allotted days and watch the fleeting changes of life's uneven ways. I'll live in glory. all put our hands together. Praise report here. God has healed both my shoulders. Last Wednesday night, Brother Nathan laid his hand on my right shoulder. Sunday morning, I went up for prayer for my left shoulder. Both are healed. Thank God. That's from Brother Layton. So let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. So thankful that we have a throne, that we can come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we can find mercy in a time of need. So as we go to prayer, let's just remember that he's there and he supplies all of our needs. Please remember the Sargent family in prayer for traveling mercies. Sister Betty Phillips is home from the hospital. Please continue to remember her in prayer for a continued and complete healing. Please pray for Brother Luke Nicholson's sister. The doctors say she has a tumor on her gallbladder that is malignant. So definitely want to remember these in prayer. Brother Caleb, would you come up and take us to the Lord in prayer? If you have an unspoken prayer request, just make that known to the Lord by an uplifted hand. Amen. We know he's here and he's listening. So you just hold up your need before him. God bless you.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, to come in your house, Lord, once again. What an opportunity, Lord, just to be gathered together. Lord Jesus, we come before you tonight with these many requests, Lord. We ask that you would go to each one, Lord, the ones that are sick and needy, Lord. Touch them, Father, for these wonderful testimonies that we have heard, Lord. Truly, you are great, Lord. You're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Still moving in this age, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would just bless us tonight, Lord, as we come to hear the word, Lord. Bless Brother Nathan, anoint him, Lord. Just give him liberty, Father. Lord, just touch us, Father. We need you, Lord, in our lives more and more. For we are nothing, Lord, without you. Lord, we need you to come. Just clean us, Lord. Fill us, Lord. Make us whole. Lord God, just come, Father. We welcome you tonight, Lord, in this service. It's all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This time we're going to have a special from Brother Luke and Sister Stephanie Nicholson. And as they come, let's sing this little chorus.
I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Oh, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over again. Oh, he gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord.
Look upward. I was looking.
appreciate that. What a wonderful message. Amen. This time we're going to ask Brother Ben, Sister Crystal, Sister Anna, and Sister Leah to come and prepare. And while we do, why don't we sing that again? I keep falling in love with him. F. Amen. Appreciate our special singing thus far.
Oh, I keep falling in love.
He'll make a way.
sing it together. Appreciate our special singing this evening. Thank you all. I appreciate them letting us sing a little more with them. I believe God's trying to move. Amen. It's, feel His sweet presence here. Amen. Why don't we sing this as Brother Nathan comes? You one of them this evening?
There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are.
Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been singing since the Lord brought me out. The bride's been singing since the Lord brought her out. Oh, and if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad. What'd he bring you out of? Let's sing it this way. I've been happy since the Lord brought me out. Church, I've been happy since the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been shouting since the Lord brought me out. Yes, I've been shouting since the Lord brought me out. And if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Let's sing it. I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Well, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. And if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise tonight. He's worthy of it.
Amen. These days we're happy that the Lord brought us out of our house to be able to see one another. So, amen. Good to be in church again tonight. Amen. Hope you came expecting and just looking forward to whatever the Lord would have for us. Appreciate the specials tonight and the congregational singing and just the presence of God that's here. Thank you, musicians, and God bless you. I want to look at this thought again tonight with the help of the Lord of rapturing grace. Amen. How many thankful for rapturing grace?
Amen.
Wasn't rapturing works or rapturing figuring it out or rapturing I did this so I get to do that. Rapturing grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Revelations chapter 19 in the very back of your Bible if you want to turn right before the maps. Revelations chapter 19 and verse 6 to begin with tonight. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude. And as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to gather together, Lord, to come out together and hear believers of like precious faith as they would sing the songs of Zion. And Lord, we thank you for these musicians that you've blessed us with. We thank you for the congregation that's here tonight and the others that would long to be, Lord, but due to current restrictions and just trying to obey guidelines, Lord, maybe a couple more weeks before we can all be together. But, Lord, we're longing for that time. And we thank you, Lord, that at least more of us are able to gather together at a time. And, Lord, we thank you for your presence most of all, Lord. We thank you for your healing power. Lord, as there's been many requests read tonight, but you know about each one. Lord, you know about those that are facing sickness in their bodies, those that have lost loved ones, those that are in financial troubles or have problems on their job or with their schooling or whatever it would be. You know about each one, Father. You know about those that are sick with cancer. You know about those that are sick with diabetes and different things that your people are facing, Lord. But you know all about it, and we believe that you're a healer tonight. Lord, we believe that you're more than able to move on the scene and touch each one tonight and heal them. Lord, we believe that, Lord, that even though this has been a year of trials and tribulations and many dangers, toils and snares, yet we believe it'll be a year of victory and a year of miracles and a year of rejoicing, Lord, because we know that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that you raise up a standard against him. And so, Lord, we're just looking forward to the victory. Oh, we thank you, Father. And Lord, we just ask that you'd be with each one. May the same presence that we feel here physically in the building, Lord, may it go to each one that's listening in their homes, whether they be here or in Delaware or Texas or Florida or wherever they're at this evening. Lord, I pray that you'd be with them. And Lord, just may your presence be manifested to them there as well. We give you this service. We commit it to you. I ask for your anointing, Lord, and your help and your leading, your guidance. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated here and at home or wherever you're at. If you're in your vehicle, hopefully you're already seated. I have been sending my mom some texts today, and I told her, I said, if you can't tell, I'm kind of in rare form today. And she said, well, service ought to be interesting tonight. So I'm just trying to keep up with her expectations of the evening service. But the Bible says here that the bride, his wife, hath made herself ready, and it was granted that she could be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Anybody here have any righteousness of your own? I don't, but she was arrayed in fine linen to represent the righteousness of the saints. Brother Branham tells us in Birth Pains in 1965, he said, the Bible said his wife hath made herself ready at the end of the age. How did she make herself ready? Well, we could just dismiss there and go home and leave you with the cliffhanger, but we won't do it tonight. How did she make herself ready to becoming his wife? And what did she do? What kind of a garment she had on? His own word. She was dressed in his righteousness. Amen. It's not Nathan Bryant's righteousness. Sister Jeannie will tell you it's not David Hoover's righteousness. And Sister Brenda will tell you it's not Bill Layton's righteousness. I don't want to scare you. It wasn't Moses' righteousness. Wasn't Paul's righteousness. Wasn't Brother Branham or Irenaeus or Martin or Luther or Wesley or any of these others. It wasn't any of their righteousness. But what was it? The bride for each age was clothed in his righteousness and the righteousness of his word, to the point where she became the very word that he had spoken forth for that age. Amen. I love to read the word, don't you? I love to hear the word, don't you? I love to do the word, don't you? But I don't want to stop there. Many stop at just reading it. They read a good book and say, oh my, that was good. I believe God sent a prophet. But they won't go on further and find out what the prophet taught us. And then others will go further and they'll, oh, I love to hear it. And my, that's so, I love to get into the deep revelation. I love to sit under a deep teacher and things. They love to educate themselves in it. But they stop there, and others will go and they'll say, well, I like to do the work so that somebody can look at me and say, well, look, Sister Lori, I'm a pretty good Christian. Look at me. I did some pretty good works. And they stop there. But I don't want to stop at hearing it. I don't want to stop even at doing it. But I want to become the very word that God has promised for this age. There is a bride that will be more than able to read it. She will be more than able to quote it. She will be more than even just to legalistically live it. But the very life that was in Christ will become such a part of her till she will become that word. Amen. What kind of people ought we to be tonight? Amen. Somebody said, well, I've been in a message church for 40 years. That's wonderful. Have you become the word yet? Amen. Has the word begin to take form in your life? Well, I can quote it. Well, Brother Bam said this over here. Hey, there's a lot of theologians that can quote it that don't believe it. There's a lot of people that have left the message that can probably quote it better than I can, but they're not even interested in living it. But I don't just want to go through the motions. I want to become the very word that he promised for this age. Why? Because there was a capstone that was coming up, and only that piece that is set to match the capstone will be able to go and meet him. Amen. There were other stages of the building. They were important. If it hadn't been for that first church age building a foundation, Brother Branham said, somebody said, well, the book of Acts was just the scaffold work. He said, well, if you remember, you don't take down the scaffold work until the building is completed. So we needed the scaffold work. We needed that first church age to lay a foundation. We couldn't just jump right up to the capstone crying grace, grace, and to the bride sign that he was calling out for that age. But there had to be a period of stages as it would begin to build up with each church age. But in that final church age, there would be a group of people who was so much like Jesus Christ himself that when the capstone came down to set upon the building, it matched perfectly. Why? Because she is him.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not preaching to you that I'm Jesus Christ tonight, but I am preaching to you that I'm a portion of him.
Amen.
Amen. I'm a portion of him. Why? Because what was the promise of the baptism of the Holy Ghost? That God himself would come and live in the believer.
Amen.
Amen. That produces the life of Christ. Brother Ram said, if I had the life of John Dillinger, I'd pack a gun. I'd be a gangster. And if I was had the life of Shakespeare, I'd write compositions of music and things. If I had, or not of Shakespeare, it'd be writing plays then. But he said, if I had the life of Beethoven, I would be writing compositions of music and things like that. And so we find that whatever life is on the inside of you, that will reflect on the outside of you. You see somebody, oh, they might come to church and they may act the part, but you get around them long enough and you begin to see that the life that's being lived through them is contrary to the word. What is it? It's that they're feeding on a different life on the inside of them.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Notice, they were all virgins. They were all clean living people. They were all sanctified. They were all justified. They were all saved. But there was one group of them that got up to a certain point and they didn't have any oil. Now we know that oil in the scriptures represents the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they had got to a place where they had everything but the oil. Here they were trying their best to live whatever church they were going to, whether it was a message church or a denominational church or whatever it was. They were walking in the light that had been given them, but when it came time for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, something held them back. Well, we couldn't stop doing this, and we couldn't stop doing that, and I couldn't receive it in the way that Brother so-and-so received it. I'm not no holy roller. Whatever it was, something held them back. They procrastinated about getting oil. They had lamps, they had wicks, they were virgins, but they didn't have the oil. They took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Notice it wasn't just the foolish virgins that slumbered and slept, but as time progressed and as the hour got later and later, instead of them saying, oh my, it's been even longer now, Brother Lee, since the bridegroom promised his coming. It's been even longer now since we've been expecting a body change. It's been longer now since these, you know, it ought to put us into a greater desperation, but what does it do? It lulls us to sleep. Well, we've heard this before. We've heard rapture sermons since 1965 when Brother Branham preached it in Yuma, Arizona. We've heard about the rapture. We've heard about the resurrection. We've heard about the body change. We've heard that there's a time coming that we'll step from this mortal into immortality and we'll step into another body. But what is it? As time progresses, if we're not careful, because of the nature of the very age that we live in, it's a loose, lazy, later seeing backslidden age, and they all begin to slumber and sleep.
Right.
But at the midnight hour, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now, all of the sleeping virgins, whether they were foolish or wise, they heard this cry to go out and meet him. But in the hour that they heard the cry to go out and meet him, there was one group that was already prepared when the cry began to come forth. And there was another group that had procrastinated about their oil getting.
Amen.
Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. In other words, Brother Darrell, could I have some of your experience? Because I never had an experience. But could I get in on the pastor's experience? Could I get in on Brother Branham's experience or somebody in his family's experience? Or could I get in on one of the deacons' experience? Or my grandma, she was a sainted lady, Brother Hoover. You would have loved to have just sat and talked with her about the Lord. What a saint she was. She had a real experience, Sister Lori. That's wonderful for her, but you can't get in on somebody else's experience.
Amen.
It's wonderful if God gave you a godly mother and a godly grandfather and a godly grandmother. godly fathers and deacons and pastors and things like that. He certainly gave us a godly prophet in this age. But I can't get in on Brother Branham's experience. You can't get in on my experience. I can't, as much as Sister Debbie and Brother Lee are one in one sense of the word, she cannot get in on his experience, and he cannot get in on her experience, because they aren't one like Jesus and the Father were one. Brother Branham said, if you've seen God, you've seen me. He said, told Philip there, he said, have I been with you so long and you don't know me? You don't recognize who I am? When Philip told him, show us the Father and that'll suffice us. And that woman said, well, Brother Branham, you and your wife are one. He said, not that kind of one. Why? Because there were two different souls, two different personalities in him and his life. She had one soul and he had another soul. Now, I'm not preaching two soul doctrine necessarily tonight, but when it comes to spouses, we are. Brother Hoover and Sister Jeannie have two different souls. They're two different personalities. Even though they become one as far as their earthly journey in marriage and pulling together and all these things, yet one would be in the bed and they take one and leave one. One would be in the field and take one and leave one. Why? What was he teaching us? A universal rapture. Amen. So when somebody comes to you and says, you got to come to Africa if you're going to get the Holy Ghost, tell them they're a false prophet. Right. If somebody tells you, you got to belong to Church of the Open Door, you got to live in Jeffersonville or within so many miles of Jeffersonville, as I've heard them tell me for years. Well, I'm thankful that I live right in Jeffersonville. I don't live within 70 miles of it. I live in it. But that's not going to make me take a rapture. Amen. My geographic location has nothing to do with me being rapture ready. There are multiplied millions of people living within 70 miles of Jeffersonville that he'll come and they'll just still be there. They won't recognize what's taking place. They won't take a body change. They won't see their loved ones coming. But there will be another group that does. Amen. Amen. Why? Because they were ready when the cry came forth. They had made preparations when the cry came forth. So I believe it'll be a universal rapture. I don't believe that it'll be something that, well, if we're in this country or this city or this state or we belong to this church, we'll go, but everybody else is out. You cannot show me that. You might be able to show me that in your old grandmother's almanac or in some doctrine book that somebody's cooked up, a false doctrine, but you can't show me that in the scripture or in the message. It's always taught that it would be a universal rapture. Amen. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that if God calls Brother Trevor over to Africa when the rapture comes and his wife over here in Sellersburg, I'm glad that they'll both be able to go because they got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That was the requirement for being rapture ready. Not your address, not your church, not your geographic location, but the oil had to be in the lamp. Oh, you think there'll be people out of Brother So-and-so's church that'll make it after the way he teaches and the way, oh my, he don't agree with us. This brother down the street or this brother across the bridge or this brother in another state or another country, he don't see it like we do. Well, if his people have the Holy Ghost, they'll go. And it'll probably be like a lot of churches. Brother Ram said there's good people in every church. Oh, I know message people have a hard time swallowing that, but that's what he taught us, said there's good people in every church. So I believe when we get over there, there'll be some people we'll be shocked to see, and there'll be some people that will probably shocked that didn't make it, but you know what? It'll be perfectly exactly in order as what God had from the before the foundation of the world predestinated in his mind, because you cannot keep an elected seed from taking a rapture. Amen. You might try to discourage her. You might try to confuse her. You might try to irritate her. And you might try to berate her and tell her, well, you don't see like we do, so you ain't going. That won't hold down an elected seed of God. They cannot be deceived. They cannot, just as the ground could not hold Jesus. There he was 2 days and something in the grave. He said he knew that corruption set in 3 days. And he knew that David had said in the Psalms there that I won't suffer my Holy One to see corruption. So he said, within 3 days I'll lay down this temple and I'll pick it back up again. And there he lay, and the very earth that he was laying in could not hold the second Adam. The first Adam had been in the dust for thousands of years, but it couldn't hold the second Adam. Why? Because he was proving that there was going to be a resurrection someday, that I don't care how your grandma went or how long she's been dead or whether they cremated her or buried her or put her in the sea or whatever it was, if she had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, she will come forth. Amen. Amen. It's the promise of the resurrection. Well, amen. It's good to be back in church tonight, ain't it?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. In other words, go get your own experience.
Right.
Amen. Go somewhere and get alone with God. Go to an altar somewhere. Kneel by your bedside somewhere. Go listen to a tape on what the Holy Ghost is and what is it given for. Get desperate enough before God to get your own oil.
Amen.
Go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut.
Right.
It didn't hinder those that were going. Those that had procrastinated about it and said, "Well, I'll go to the altar when I'm older. I'll go once I've sold my wild oats. I'll go once, you know, if I really get sick and really need him, then I'll go and I'll ask God for something." They didn't hinder any of those. Paul said, "What if some didn't believe? Would that hinder God?" He said, "Unbelief doesn't hinder God." So the foolish virgin, the different ones, the different groups, whoever be foolish virgin, or those that will be eternally lost, or those that are kind to the bride, they won't hold back the bride when that last one comes in and the call comes forth. They will take a body change regardless of who else is ready and who's not ready. When that last one comes in, the door is shut and then there's no more mercy. Somebody said, "Oh, it happened back in 1963. Well, that takes a lot of us out of the picture. In fact, takes a lot of their family members out of the picture. But you watch people that believe like that and they'll find some loophole to get their grandbabies in and things like that. Oh, well, because they came through our genetics. Seed." Baloney. Brother Branham didn't teach that. The Catholic Church teaches that. The Catholic Church teaches apostolic succession, that, well, because this one did this and they'll go on and do that. No, but that's not scripture. The same godly mother and daddy that gave birth to Jacob gave birth to an Esau as well. So it doesn't come that way. It comes by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And once the door is shut, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And there will be nobody saved once the door is shut.
Amen.
Uh-oh, you're going to get yourself out on a limb, Brother Nathan. Well, I'm glad that we have some quotes to get us back. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Now he's giving us a warning that we don't be like these that were foolish, but we be like those that were wise and got the baptism of the Holy Ghost before it was too late. Somebody said, "Oh, well, I'll just be foolish virgin if I don't make it." Oh, you better not hope for that. Amen. Brother Branham said they'll hunt them down like dogs and kill them. I don't know about you. That's not what I want for my future. That's not what I want for my children or my grandchildren if time would tarry. That's not what I want for them. I want to be rapture ready. The 10 virgins and the 144,000 Jews, 1916. He says, and the foolish virgins now did not have oil in their lamp, but they had everything else. They had everything else, but they didn't have oil in their lamp. Here they were. Is that a word? I don't think it is, but maybe somewhere it is. Thank you, brother. Here they were. And they had come to church. They knew about God coming back. They knew about a rapture. They knew about a body change. And here they'd gone to church. They'd sat in services long enough to recognize they were justified. They'd been around it long enough to get sanctified and saved. But when it came time for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there was something in them that was lacking from them going on and getting that. And he said they had everything but the oil. God being misunderstood, 1961. The five foolish virgins were not lost, but they were not permitted to go into the wedding supper. They weren't lost, but they weren't permitted to go into the wedding supper. Again, the same sermon. No, they were not lost, but they will never be in the bride. They were come in the second resurrection, but never be in the bride to be judged according to the way that they treated the light that they received. Now that part will be up to Christ. They were not lost though.
Amen.
Oh, poor Brother Nathan. He's reading those quotes way back in 1961. Well, I believe them all.
Amen.
Amen. I believe them in 1947. I believe them in 1965. I believe all of it.
Right.
Amen. Somebody said, "Oh, that's just an Old Testament quote." Well, I'm still reading out of the Old Testament. In fact, Peter and Paul, if you go back and read most of their writings, a big portion of their sermons was reading out of the Old Testament. So, amen. I recognize there was dispensation changes and things like that, but I still sure get a blessing. We've had some wonderful teaching services out of the Old Testament, haven't we? We recognize that there were some flawed characters back there there that exposed some grace on our life when we recognize, when we look back at that lineage of Christ. And we've had some wonderful services back there in the Old Testament. So what was it? It was a type of the New Testament. Amen. So you can't throw away the type, because if you throw away the type, you have no vindication of the actual event. If, you know, somebody said, well, John the Baptist, when he came, he fulfilled what Isaiah said. That's right. But how would you have known that Isaiah was who he said, or that John the Baptist was who he said he was, if you hadn't had Isaiah's word to go back with it? How would we know? So they said, well, I believe God sent a prophet in this age, but I don't need my Bible anymore. Then how are you going to prove to somebody that God sent a prophet in this age without your Bible? How are you going to prove that he was Malachi 4 and Revelations 10:7 and Luke 17:30 and oh so many other scriptures unless you can take them back to your Bible and show it to him? See, what the devil likes to do is he likes to take the very vindication that you have of this message and rob it right out from under you because somebody said it was popular to do it this way, or we believe it that way, or whatever it be. I don't care what anybody believes. I go back to the Word. I love my mommy. I love my daddy. I love Brother Layton, these other pastor brothers and different things. But if something comes up and it's contrary to what's already been written, then I'll just stay with what the prophet taught us, and I'll stay with what the scripture said. That's what an absolute is all about. Amen. Amen. When people want to argue about what the absolute is, to me, the absolute is the Word. Amen. Amen. Well, is it the message or the Bible, Brother Nathan? I believe they're both the Word, so it's both of them to me. Somebody said, well, it depends on which one you make the front sight and the back sight. Well, it sounds just like a lot of terminology to me, but, you know, just as long as you line them both up was the main thing, you remember? Because you can't take one and make it say something and then it not match. You can't take a quote and make it say something and try to say, don't you see this, Brother David? Don't you see what I'm trying to share in this quote? Well, have you got a scripture to back that up? Well, no, but he said it right here in that quote. Well, that's wonderful, but if your interpretation of that quote is contrary to the Word of God, then it's false doctrine. Amen. Amen. You say the quote is false doctrine? No, I said your interpretation of the quote is false doctrine. Because you can't make quotes fight scriptures or quotes fight quotes. Neither can you make scriptures fight the opposite way. So if I'm going to teach something, I need to be able to show it to you plainly in the message in the Bible. When we do that, then we have a sure foundation to stand on. But when somebody says, well, this is just the way I believe it, then they have a castle built on the sand of shifting sands of what they believe at that speck of time in their life. And you get around them 10 years later and they'll be pushing some other false doctrine or some other thing or some other rapture date or whatever it be that they've come up with the next thing. Why? Because they're trying to build on extracurricular shifting sands of man's ideas and popular opinion and things like that. But there's something that will not change or shift, and that is the Word of God. It's a sure foundation. So if we're going to teach something, we take it back to the Word of God. And then when you begin to look at the scripture and it doesn't line up with the quote, then it's not that the quote or the scripture have to be wrong. It's that your understanding or the way you've been taught is maybe wrong, and you need to take a step back and say, Lord, these can't contradict one another. So show me, what am I missing here? What am I just blinded to whatever this is? Am I looking at it through my own intellectual thinking? Am I looking at it through the teaching of some pastor that I used to sit under or some teacher or whatever it be? Or is there something that Brother Branham came around and I'm looking at this one quote back here and he came around and clarified later on? I haven't caught that part yet. What is it, Lord? You show it to me and reveal it to me. You say sincere before him, and he will reveal it to you. Amen. If you have any eyes to see and ears to hear at all. I've seen him do it many times. There's been many times people have asked me a question. I think, I don't know. I don't know the answer. Maybe things I've ran across in the message of the Bible. I think, Lord, what is that? How does that fit up with the rest of it? And it might take years for me to see what it is, but every time he's come around and showed me. Amen. Amen. Why? Because he's a good God. Amen. He didn't promise us that he'd just drop it all in our lap at once, but he did promise that he'd lead us and guide us into all truth. So I'm glad that I'm not one of these guys that puts a thumbtack in a date and says, bless God, I have all the revelation that I'll ever need right now, Brother Layton. I don't need anybody to teach me. I don't need anything else to learn. Go back around that guy in about 10 years and see how different he's teaching than what he was teaching. And say, what did he do? He moved the thumbtack. But you know, those thumbtack movers, they never will come around and get that lying spirit off of them and say, I was wrong back there and I want to repent of that. I'd have more confidence in them if they would. If they just come around and admit, hey, I was wrong. I was looking at it wrong, but God has showed me more. I'd say, hey, that's okay, brother. God does that for me all the time too. Praise the Lord. Anybody further along than they were 10 years ago? I hope so. Amen. I am. I sure am. I know that. And if the Lord tarries 10 more years down the road, I want to be closer to Him and further on in the Word than I am tonight. Questions and Answers, Part 2, 1964. Notice how the question is worded. After the bride is raptured, will any of the foolish virgins be saved, or will they be lost? No. See, everything will be finished for the Gentile church when the bride is taken from the earth. So did he change his way of teaching it from the way he taught it in 1961, God being misunderstood, and the way he teaches it in Patmos vision in 1960 there when they come and a man asks him, says, the foolish virgins, are they part of the remnant that will be saved and that they'll receive eternal life after the millennium? And Brother Branham said, seems like a pretty good theologian from my way of understanding it. He said, that's the way I understand it as well. So did God give him some super duper revelation on past here in Questions and Answers in 1964 that no, the foolish virgin would not be saved? Go back and read it again. That's not what he said. The question was, after the bride is raptured, will any of the foolish virgins be saved, or will they be lost? And nobody is saved after the bride is gone. But the foolish virgins were already saved before the bride was gone. The foolish virgins, you remember in the parable of the five wise and the five foolish, the foolish virgins, Brother Bam said they had everything but the oil. They had been saved. They had been sanctified. They had their lamps cleaned and ready and trimmed. They had their wicks trimmed. They just didn't have any oil in the lamp, Brother Hoover. And here they were waiting on the coming of the Lord, but they fell asleep. And so did the wise virgin. They kind of got lulled to sleep for a little while too. But then a cry came forth. Behold, he's coming. And they woke up and one was ready because they already had oil. And the other one said, well, I've been saved and I've been sanctified and I recognize I'm justified. I've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus down here. I did all these things, but can I have some of your experience? And they said, no, we can't give you our experience. You got to get your own. And then the door was shut. And those that were saved before the door was shut were saved, but nobody past the point of the shutting of the door could be saved, because when the bride goes, the Holy Spirit goes with her. Amen. And you don't want to be there during that time. Amen. You think it's hard now? You think it's hard now with coronavirus and diseases and rapists and murders and insane people out here shooting people in mass and all this, all the craziness that we see? You think it's bad now with the Holy Spirit holding back the wrath of all those thousand demons of the sea that was released out of the river Euphrates? What is it that's holding it back right now from utter destruction and chaos? Because the bride's still here. Amen. And God holding back the wrath. But when the bride it's gone, the Holy Ghost goes with her. You don't want to be here during that time. He who's filthy, let him be filthy still. Brother Bram said, no, see, everything will be finished for the Gentile church when the bride is taken from the earth. The Spirit of God leaves the earth. He that's filthy is filthy still. He that's righteous is righteous still. He that's holy is holy still. Somebody said, well, that's just the way you read that, Brother Nathan. I can read it another way. And I've had brothers tell me that because of that quote right there, that the foolish virgin is lost. Well, you tell any false prophet that would tell you something like that, you tell them they better pray to God that the foolish virgin isn't lost if they want to have a chance. Well, praise the Lord. No, I hope they're not foolish virgin. I hope God opens their eyes and they come around and get the Holy Ghost so they can go in. Amen. But I don't want to hold out the foolish virgins and say they're lost. Somebody said, well, but that was in August of 1964 after the seals. That's right. But listen to the way the question was phrased. He goes on further. He says, whatever happens, she happens now. After that time, she's in the state now. She will have to go through the tribulation period. Now, that's August the 23rd, 7 days later. Now, he's preached the future home of the heavenly bridegroom before he does these questions and answers, about a week or two before he preaches the future home. And then they have these questions and answers. So they have a lot of questions around these type of things because he's just taught this sermon on what the future home is going to be and about the millennium and about the new heavens and new earth after the millennium and all that. And so they're coming to him with these questions. So they ask him 1 week here on the 23rd of August, they ask him, after the bride is raptured, will the foolish virgin be saved? He says, no, nothing can be saved after they're gone. But they ask him again 7 days later, the next Sunday on August the 30th, do you mean the foolish virgin will live eternally But they will be separated from the New Jerusalem where Christ will dwell with the bride. Here are those who do not have the Holy Spirit born again, as the scripture speaks of being born again. If the natural birth requires water, blood, and spirit, does not the spiritual birth require all three stages of grace before the person is truly born again? He says, absolutely. Amen. You mean the foolish virgin will live eternally? Absolutely. So did God change his mind back from what he taught in the seals and everything before there on the 23rd and then turn it back around and change it again on the 30th? No, they read the quote wrong because they got out on a limb and they won't come back and admit we were wrong about this part. So they have to twist the rest and make it fit their doctrine as well. Absolutely. He says, I just explained that this morning, the same thing. Again, the church age book is the second resurrection where in the five foolish virgins come up. Notice that they were virgins. They did not have the Holy Spirit, so they missed being in the bride, while the five wise who had oil became a part of that bride. But these people being separated, God-loving people, and trying to abide in the Word according to what they knew of it, and being a help in the work of the Lord, will come up at the end of time. They will miss the millennium. Amen. I don't know about you. I don't want to miss the millennium. He goes on to talk about what a wonderful time it'll be. I want to be there. Amen. I don't want to miss the millennium. I don't want to go down and be hunted down like a dog because I didn't fall under the Roman Catholic Church's way of doing things. And I wouldn't compromise on the Word. And so they wouldn't let me buy or sell. And eventually they would come and take your very life from you. That's the future of the foolish virgin. I don't want that. But she will receive eternal life. Why? Because she was saved. And God's not, I know it's not politically correct, but the Indians, the Native American Indians, they used to say, I'm not an Indian giver. That meant to give something and take it back. And God is not, as Brother Bram says, God's not an Indian giver. He doesn't save you one night and then turn right back around and say, I made a mistake. He said, you wouldn't run your business like that. So you think God would run his business like that? So the foolish virgins, they had everything but the oil. They were saved, sanctified, justified, but yet they stopped short of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they will be saved, but they won't go through the millennium because they'll be in the grave, and the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. And then they come up in the great white throne judgment. I don't want his judgment. I want his mercy. Amen. Amen. This is where we ought to thank God for rapturing grace. Amen. The foolish virgin doesn't get to experience that. Oh, they might have had just as much faith as we did as far as faith for healing and things like that, but they didn't have rapturing grace. Again, Church Age book. Secondly, he says there's another class. Their names are also in the book of life, and they will come up in the second resurrection. Such are the foolish virgins. And the righteous, as are spoken of in Matthew 25, in this class also, are those who do not worship the beast or become involved in the Antichrist system, but die for their faith, even though they are not in the bride, not having been born again, but they will come up in the second resurrection and go in to eternal life. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful for it. Amen. People want to go around and label everybody. Well, you don't see it like me, so you're just a foolish virgin. Well, I don't want to do that. Amen. I hope that there's grace. Even if somebody doesn't see it at all like we see it now, I hope that there's grace. Even if somebody's teaching it wrong, even if they're teaching wrong on the foolish virgins or on the seals or on the thunders or whatever it be, I hope that God will allow them time to God will open their eyes and not that it's about being right in our doctrine. Amen. The Holy Ghost isn't just about being right in our doctrine. It's about a life that's lived. But the Holy Ghost will lead us and guide us into all truth. So when you see somebody that's not interested in any more truth, you have to wonder about their experience a little bit. Amen. I want more of what God has for me. I don't want to get complacent. I don't want to get to a spot where I think I know so much about it that Brother Stephen or Brother Trevor or Brother Layton or whoever, even Brother Lee or Brother Darrell or whoever it be, couldn't share something with me. And I think, I never saw it like that. Right. Because God works through the body. Amen. I thank you tonight that you believe he works through the pastor, but he doesn't stop at the end of this pulpit, although it felt like he was last Wednesday night. It felt like it was stopping right there, not going any further, but he doesn't work like that. He works on through the body of Jesus Christ. Remember, there was a man one time here, Paul was a church age messenger the first church age messenger to the age. But God didn't just send, even when the Holy Spirit struck him down on the road to Damascus there, he didn't just tell him everything that needed to be done and send him on his way and say, well, the angel came and visited me and said all this and I'm good to go. But you remember, he sends a man by his way and says, Brother Saul, I know your eyes have been blinded by this great light that you've seen in this age, but I've got some revelation that God wanted me to share with you, and I'm going to baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ, and you're going to be a minister to the Gentiles. Why? Because God always works through the body. God could have came down and spoke to the Ethiopian eunuch. He could have bypassed Philip. God didn't have to use a man, but it would have been contrary to his program. God always uses somebody in the body. Amen. Take it. What you say, well, bless God, Brother Nathan. When I recognized this message, I was sitting in my bedroom listening to a tape. So you can't tell me God still uses men. How'd you get that tape? Did it just mysteriously appear in your room? You was just walking through your living room one day, and all of a sudden there was a magnetic tape floating in the air, and you thought, oh, well, thank you, Jesus. Look at that. It's tangible. I can touch it. I wonder if there's anything on it. And you put it in your cassette player and you shut the lid and you press the play button and you heard a voice come on. You thought, oh my, that's wonderful. God didn't do it that way for you, because it would be contrary to his way of program of doing it. Now, you may have recognized it sitting there listening to a tape, but he led somebody to make that tape. Back in the 50s or the 60s, they were sitting there with the machine and they recorded it. And then he led somebody else to duplicate it. And then he led somebody else to buy it. And he led them one day on the street just to say, hey, I think you'd be blessed by that. And maybe you said, oh, no, I'm not interested in that. They said, no, I think what you're going through, it'll bless you. And you got back home, and then God began to reveal things to you, but he used somebody to bring this by your path. He uses people. He still uses people. Amen. He's using people tonight, whether you can believe it or not. I'm not just talking about the pastor up here. He's using people to pull on the gift so that the pastor can have something to give out to you. He's using musicians to play the music, to set an atmosphere. He's using song leaders. He's using the audiovisual technicians over here so somebody can enjoy it that couldn't be here tonight. He's using those in their home that maybe they couldn't be here tonight, but they still thought they'd take out the time to sit there and listen to the service. And maybe the kids have been acting up and they've had to tell, sit back down on the couch, honey. He won't be longer than another hour and a half, surely. Just sit down a little longer. You can watch your cartoon for 2 hours. You can listen to Brother Nathan for 50 minutes. Now, come on. I know I'm not as entertaining as a cartoon, but there. Well, maybe that'll keep you entertained a while to wake you up tonight. Oh, my. Well, praise the Lord anyhow. Maybe it woke somebody up. I don't know. I'm glad you think so, Brother Layton. I'm not sure everybody else does, but thank you, brother. Brother Layton said it was good, so boo devil. Oh, my, we want to be entertained. We want somebody to put us on a show. That's why these televangelists are so popular. They make everybody happy. Well, I'll admit, I don't make everybody happy, but that's not what God called me to do. Amen. The rapture, 1965. Now, Brother Branham has talked about this one group of people. We've heard him bring it up and talk about how there's going to be one group that she doesn't get rapture in grace, but she is saved by grace. She's saved by faith through grace. And she does get to have eternal life, even though she won't be a part of the resurrection. She won't be a part of the rapture. She won't be able to enjoy the marriage supper while the tribulation period is going on down here. She won't be able to enjoy the 1,000 years millennium while the rest of the dead live not. But she will come up in the second resurrection, and she will receive eternal life because this isn't the group that was kind to the bride that he talks about, but she will receive eternal life because she was saved prior to the bride leaving the earth. So we've looked at that group. Now, he's sitting there in Youngstown Shopping Center, as I was talking about it last week, and I'd forgotten the song of what it was, but it's Onward Christian Soldiers is the song that he said they were singing as they went marching. And he's sitting there, and he sees some women that are dressed immorally there in Youngstown Johnstown Shopping Center, if they was dressed immorally in 1965, what would he say today to walk down the streets of Louisville or Jeffersonville or Sellersburg or wherever it would be? And he said he would sing that, and he said he goes into a vision, and he said there was going to be a preview of the bride, and he said he saw the church coming down, he saw the church of Asia, and he saw the church of Europe, and then he said, here come to a rock and roll beat, the church of America. And he said it was just the filthiest thing. He said, I actually had to turn my eyes from it. She was so filthy, the way that she was dressed or the lack of her dressing. And he said, here, that being standing beside me, and I couldn't even look at it in his presence. Oh my, there's a lot of things that we shouldn't look at if we could just recognize we're in his presence. The rapture, 1965. But he says, then I heard something like onward Christian soldiers. I looked, and here come that sainted bunch of little girls, just exactly the way they was, all correctly dressed, their hair hanging way down on their back, smooth, clean, marching like this to the step of the gospel. She was the Word.
Amen.
He didn't just say she was reading the Word. He didn't just say she was listening to the Word. He said she was the Word. She had become the physical embodiment of the Word for her age, because the Word was being made flesh in her again, just like it was on the shores of Galilee. Not the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but the same Godhead coming back to live in human beings again. And she had become the Word, because there was something about it. She had recognized the Word for her day, and she recognized that it wasn't just for Brother Layton, and it wasn't just for Brother Ben, but hey, it was for me too. And when she began to recognize that, and then she would begin to get out of line a little bit, the Word, now her flesh would start to get out of line, but the Word would call her back into line. Maybe she'd sit in a church service and ouch, oh me, oh my, he stepped all over my toes tonight, or goodness, the tape he picked tonight, don't you realize that was just right? My, the way we're living and the things, don't you realize that we got to be cleaning our life up? What is it, a Christ? Get back in line. Get back in line. And her flesh would start to get out of line a little bit. And here along would come the Word and say, get back in line. Get back to your position that you're supposed to be in. It's not time to backslide. It's not time to go back to the world. It's not time to give up now. It's time to get back in line. Stay in line. What is it? And the Word would convict her and bring her back into line. And then her flesh would start to get out a little bit again. Stay in line. And the Word would bring her back in line again. Why? Because she was recognizing. She was no longer just listening to a Word, but she was becoming the Word. She was the Word. They looked like one out of every pew on 1221 Silver Street. They looked like, well, there was one out of Jeffersonville, nowhere else. They looked like there was one out of the white race.
Come on.
They looked like there was just one out of Africa, and he was this super duper theologian. There wasn't nobody else. There was just one guy in Trinidad, and he was right, and everybody else was wrong. That's not what he said. They looked like one out of every nation. What was it? A representation that regardless of your race, regardless of your heritage, regardless of your age or your shoe size or the color of your skin or your last name, that he was calling a group out of a group. He was calling a people out of a people. And no matter the nation that you lived in or the church that you went in, he wasn't looking at the name above your church door. He wasn't looking at how many books you had on your shelf. There's plenty that have just as many books as I do, and they make fun of them. And they write blasphemous articles about them. So it's not how many books you've got on your shelf, but it was about, he would look down through time and see there was a group that when she would begin to get out of line, the Word would call her back, because she was the Word. And he recognized that there was some out of every nation, every kindred, every tongue. That's the way John wrote it. Every nation, every kindred, every tongue. So it's not racial supremacy. Amen. Now, I do believe that the bride is a little bit higher than everybody else, but not because of the tone of our skin, not because of the race we came from, not because of the nation that we live in, but because God called and said, come up higher.
Yes.
Amen. So that makes me higher than some people. Amen. But I don't look down on them with disdain. Oh, if you could just come up where I am. Why? Because it was grace that lifted me up. It was grace that brought me safely this far. And it'll be grace that leads me on. So that makes us no better than anybody else as far as our ability or our learning or our works. But it was grace that rose us up out of the pit. It was grace that rose us up above the denominations. It was grace that rose us up above those that were doctrinally wrong or morally wrong around the message. What was it? It was grace that got a hold of us. It was grace that held us. It was grace that kept me, Brother Joshua, when I would have backslid a long time ago. It was grace that kept me from falling. It was grace that keeps you tonight if you're His. You say, oh, I've worked awful hard at this. Well, get ready for failure. Amen. Right. It's not my works that gives me to where I'm going. It's rapturing grace. Amen. They look like one out of every nation. I was looking at it as they passed by and seen them pass by. Instead of going down, they started going up. Glory. Amen. I don't think that was just something in a vision that he saw. He was looking at a group of people that one day, here they was stooped over and decrepit and maybe hunched over with arthritis and gray hair and wrinkles and the back pains and things. And here they was starting to go down to the grave, and down they went and down they went. And all of a sudden here they begin to start going up instead, Brother Hoover. And they didn't just go back up to what they was at 18 or 21, but they kept going higher and higher and higher until they climbed plumb into another dimension where sickness or death or old age could never touch them again.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Glory. Can I preach tonight? All right, everybody. Whew. Give me the breath, Lord. Just give me the breath to get it out. Oh, my. I was looking at them as they passed by and seen them pass by. Instead of going down, they started going up. I noticed one of them trying, two or three of them trying. It wasn't that they were giving up. They were trying, but they were getting out of line. I screamed, stay in line. And the vision left me. And I was standing in the room screaming, stay in line. Oh my, I wish I could have been there and heard that, Brother Yarbrough. You can. Pick up any tape, 1947 to 65. Pick up your Bible, Genesis to Revelation, and you just begin to read, and you'll begin to hear that little voice down on the inside begin to say, stay in line. Stay in line. Keep becoming that word. Amen. Forget about your agendas. Forget about figuring it out. Forget about who's right and who's wrong and your favorite pet doctrine. Stay in line. Become the very word that He's called you to be. Jehovah Jireh. We got 23 seconds, my watch says, but boo watch. Jehovah Jireh, 1964. Now it's not some man here is the Messiah. Well, glory. It's not some man here is the Messiah. It's the Holy Spirit is the Messiah. Christ and the Holy Spirit is the same thing. Oh my, what a revelation. Christ and the Holy Spirit is the same thing. Now, for those two Lord folks, let me just do some addition here for you. Matthew chapter 1 says that Mary was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, God was his father. Well, then God and the Holy Ghost must be the same person, or something is terribly wrong in our scriptures here. We find ourselves with a conundrum. So the Father and the Holy Ghost were the same. And now a prophet of God comes around in 1964 and says Christ and the Holy Spirit are the same. So one and one and one is not three, it's one. Because it's not addition, it's multiplication. One times one times one is one. Remember, He doesn't divide, He multiplies. I think I got that right. Right, Brother Hoover? Is my homeschool math serve me right?
Amen, brother.
Christ and the Holy Spirit is the same thing. So here it is here now, just working in the flesh, getting the body ready for the rapturing grace.
Amen.
Believe it, friends.
Amen.
What are these things that you've been going through the last 5 years or 10 years or 20 years or however long it's been since you've come to the message, and you feel like it's a battle and it's a struggle, and your body tears you one way, your flesh desires this, and now the Holy Spirit inside of you rises up and says, don't do that. You was wrong. Make that right. And it's a constant battle and a constant struggle, and the devil constantly beating you up. What is it? It's working in the flesh, getting the body ready for the rapturing grace. What is the Holy Ghost given for? 1950. If you feel the least tug, don't turn it away. Young person, middle-aged person, old person, here physically or out online, if you feel the slightest tug, don't wait for another service. Don't wait for the next camp meeting. Don't wait for the next revival. Don't wait for your next alphabetical group to be able to come to church again. If you feel the least tug, don't turn it away. He says, what is the Holy Ghost? God in you. What's it for? To continue his work among his people. Amen. To bring his church together. To bring a church to a place in the day far beyond the Lutheran, Methodist, and Pentecostal, into a place of adoption and a rapturing grace. Amen. That when this part of the church, when the Spirit moves into this church here, it'll just raise and it'll bring forth all the redeemed. What did he say it was given for? To continue his work among his people. Amen. The Holy Ghost didn't come to make you be able to say, oh, I'm better than brother so-and-so. I'm righter than brother so-and-so. I'm smarter in my doctrine. I'm better than this church over here. I'm better than this group over here. It didn't come so that it could just get you so doctrinally, intellectually worked up that you could just prove everybody wrong. The Holy Ghost come so that he could continue his work among his people. Because he still had a work to do. And he said, I go to my Father, but I won't leave you comfortless. I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world, to the end of the age. What age? This age. He said, I won't leave you comfortless. Why? He said, the works that I do shall you do also. And greater works than this shall you do, for I go to my Father. What kind of works? The same works that he did, continuing among his people. Amen. Again, the countdown, 1964. He says, I pray, Father, that they'll realize it isn't trying to condemn what they had. It's only trying to give them more. Amen. Rapturing grace. Oh my, I wish we could all be more like that. I wish more of us preachers could be like that. It's not trying to condemn what you've got. Well, you're only this far. Well, bless God, I'm way down further down the road than you. It's not trying to condemn what you've got. Remember, Brother Ram said the man with the hammer there, and here comes a man along with a nail gun, and this man here just plinkety, plinkety, plinkety on an old board, and this guy just does the whole wall like that. And he said he could come in and say, well, you're so far behind. You're just, oh my, you're back in the 1800s here with your old hammer, and run it down. He said, you run down the man's product, and you'll never be able to help him. I hope sometimes we don't get so in the flesh that we run down the other person's product so bad that we can't help them. Amen. He said, but go and say, look, here, maybe this would be a help to you. Maybe try this a while and it'll help you get a little further down the road quicker. He said, it isn't trying to condemn what they had. It's only trying to give them more. Rapturing grace, for the hour will come when we'll have to have rapture power, not only to heal the body, but to change it in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Christ will be so real into their bodies till he can change it. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you. That's my desire tonight. Christ would get so real on the inside of my body that one day he would just change it. That he would become so real that I would become such a part of the Word until one day it would just be a step. Amen. We're having birth pains now. But there won't be birth pains then. It'll just be a step. It'll just be taking a step one day. And one day here you are, worn out and tired and weary from life's journey. And then you take a step and all of a sudden, healthy lungs that you breathe in. And all the wrinkles gone, the gray hairs and the stooped shoulders. And you think, oh my, I've never felt this good. You ever come out of a bad cold or something? You've been stopped up and haven't been able to breathe and haven't been able to hear out of one ear, and your wife keeps shoving you out of bed because you're snoring so loud, and she's rolling you to this side and to that side, and all of a sudden one day you wake up and I can breathe out of both nostrils. I can hear out of that ear again, Sister Lori. Oh my wife didn't roll me over one time last night. There's some laughing out here because it happened to him last night probably. Right? And you feel like a new man or a new woman. That won't be nothing compared to what it'll be when you get a new set of lungs and a new heart and new veins, new arteries. Oh my. Christ will be so real in their bodies till he can change it. Faith of Abraham, 1955. Musicians, you can go ahead and start working this way. And I'm going to read two more short quotes and we're going to try to close tonight. Faith of Abraham, 1955. So I pray tonight, Father, that you'll wake up somebody to knowledge, to know that unless they're born of the Spirit of God, has received and then become Abraham's seed, that they'll never be able to make the rapture. So I pray that you'll give rapture and grace tonight. Again, the second seal, 1963. God help our unbelief. Take it away from us, Lord. We want to receive rapture and grace. I wonder how many here present and those that are watching, those that will go back and see it later, I wonder how many will raise your hand and say, I want to receive rapture and grace, Father. I don't want to be left here. I don't want to have to go through the tribulation period. I want rapture and grace, Lord. Father, you see the hands. You know all about it. Yes, Lord. Mercy rewrote my life. You see each hand, Lord. Lord, how we need rapturing grace for this hour. Your prophet told us it would take perfect love to get there. Lord, help us. Help us to have grace, not only for ourselves, but for our brothers and sisters. Lord, maybe they don't see things exactly the way we do, but Lord, we don't want to see anybody left behind. Lord, who would we pick if we could choose somebody that we didn't want to be there? Lord, if there's anybody in our mind, we should make it down to an altar somewhere and say, Lord, help me to get that out of my heart about that person. I want to be able to spend eternity with them. I don't want there to be anybody that if they were there, it would disappoint me, or that I would not want to be there because of them. At the end of the day, Lord, whoever you select to be there and whoever you don't select to be there, I'm not interested in going to heaven just because of who's there, who's not there. It's not about the who's club of heaven. I want to be there because you're there, Lord. Lord, eternal life sounds wonderful, but without you, it sounds pretty miserable. But because you're there, you said, I go and prepare a place that where I am, there you may also be. Oh, we're longing for it, Father. We're longing to be with you, Lord. As we become more and more a part of the Word, Lord, there's something about it that, Lord, we don't want to just talk about it. We don't want to just go through the motions, Lord. We want that Word to be so real in us to where one day we'll just take a step and be in a dimension, Lord, where we can be with you. Not for brief moments like we feel here in service, Lord, where we feel those dimensions begin to blend and begin to get a glimpse of your power and your mercy and your healing. And Lord, just to worship you in that Shekinah glory, not just for a few moments or a few hours in a church service, not just for an hour in our prayer closet, but for all eternity to be in your presence. Lord, streets of gold and the city you're preparing, it sounds wonderful what I can imagine of it, but yet you said what you're preparing hasn't even entered into the hearts of man. I'm sure it'll be amazing, Father, beyond description, beyond vocabulary, beyond language, what it will be. Lord, but that's not what I'm looking for. I'm longing to see you. I'm longing to see the one that paid the price for my redemption, that paid the price that I could have rapturing grace. Paid the price that I couldn't pay. All my works, all my self-righteousness, it was filthy rags. I couldn't attain eternal life, Lord, but you had looked down by predestination, regardless of what anyone else thought of me, regardless of what they think of me now. By your predestination, you said, he's one of mine. He's one of mine. Satan can't have him. Oh, maybe there's many others here that the enemy has tried to sift them like wheat. He's tried to discourage them. He's tried to rob their victory. He's tried to lie to them and tell them they've ran too far, they've sinned too much, or they've made too many mistakes. They've made a disgrace of their family name. But Lord, may they recognize tonight, it's just by your grace that any of us will be there. Your rapturing grace. Lord, may these young people that have never experienced you in that way, may they experience a God that's more than words, that's more than pages, that's a living reality of a person that they can have a relationship with, that can lead them and guide them through their life, that can direct their paths, that can comfort them when it seems like there's no one else that can comfort, that can encourage them when they're so down that it seems like encouragement is impossible, that can forgive them when it seems like they've gone too far, that can give them victory when they've had failure after failure after failure. You can give them overcoming power and rapturing grace. May they experience you in that way, Lord. Before it's too late, may they experience a God that can fill them with the Holy Spirit and give them rapturing grace, I pray. Thank you for it, Father. We love you. We thank you for your presence tonight. Thank you for your anointing. Lord, we love it when you show up, Lord. Lord, you're always here if we can just recognize it and get into that channel where you can use us. Be with each one here tonight, those that are listening. Bless them in a special way. May you use this sermon, Lord, that you placed on my heart, this little series of rapturing grace. May you get the attention of your bride that'll hear it. May it stir them up. May they recognize it's not playing around time. It's going home time. In Jesus Christ's name. Oh, mercy, every rose. Is that your testimony tonight? Why don't we stand and sing it to him? God's mercy, every rose, my life. Oh, when I should have fallen, my soul cast down. But mercy, every rose, my life. Thank you, Father. God's mercy.
This is just what heaven is. Will be
Jesus shall come back to earth again. Jesus coming back will be the answer to our sorrowing cry. For the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth, the sea, and sky. God shall take away all sickness, and the sufferer's tears will dry. When our Savior shall come back to earth again. Oh yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, Satan will be bound a thousand years, he'll have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Yes, the ransomed of the Lord shall come to Zion then with joy. And in all his holy mountain nothing hurts or shall destroy. Perfect peace shall reign in every heart, love without war. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, Satan will be bound a thousand years, he'll have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Then sin and sorrow, pain and death of this dark world shall cease. In a glorious reign with Jesus of a thousand years of peace. All the earth is groaning, crying for that day of sweet release. For our Jesus to come back to earth again. Oh yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. And Satan will be bound a thousand years, he'll have no tempter then. Shall come back to earth again. Oh yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. We'll be bound a thousand years, he'll have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again.
Amen. You going through by his grace?
I'm going through, yes, I'm going through. Oh, I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I started it with Jesus, and I'm going through once more. I'm going through, oh, I'm going through. Oh, I'll pay the price, whatever others do. Oh, I'll take away with the Lord's despise. I started with Jesus.
Let's try this tonight as we prepare to be dismissed. Sing a verse in the chorus of this, and the deacons will start dismissing you if you want to be dismissed.
Onward, Christians.